ladies and gentlemen, recording from Los Angeles, California. Welcome to another edition of the one and only podcast known to the world as Sean's Sports Stop, where Sean Teplitsky gives his unique opinion on the biggest news stories in sports.
That is right, ladies and gentlemen. As you just heard from legendary UFC ring announcer Bruce Buffer, this is episode number 393 of the Sean Sports Stop podcast, wherever you guys may be. I greatly appreciate it for listening. As always, as we always do, I'm going to cover the biggest news in sports and give my opinion on everything going on. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, NFL offseason, some parts of the NBA offseason. The Lakers have a new coach. Baseball, I mean, there is a lot to talk about. So with that said, let's get right into it, starting with some NFL. It appears former NFL running back LeSean McCoy is not a fan of Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy. During an appearance on the I Am Athlete podcast, McCoy said Bieniemy hasn't been hired as a head coach in the NFL because of his coaching ability, not because of his race. Those are some fighting words from LeSean McCoy. McCoy also called out how Bieniemy interacts with players and added that he is the reason he stopped playing for the Chiefs. Wow, he's really coming after him, saying, quote, "Listen, because some players, he talks to them a certain way and some players would take it. I wouldn't take it like, whoa, that's the reason why that every year they hype him up to get a job. And then when the time comes, nobody hires him because they know what type of coach he really is." Those are some crazy words from LeSean McCoy. He spent the 2019 season with the Chiefs after splitting his first 10 years of his career between the Philadelphia Eagles and Buffalo Bills. He appeared in 13 games this season, rushing for 465 yards and 4 touchdowns, in addition to catching 28 passes for 181 yards and 1 score. The 33-year-old played only 35% of Kansas City's offensive snaps during the 2019 season and was a healthy scratch for one game after head coach Andy Reid said he wasn't, quote, "getting any younger and needed time off for load management." McCoy appeared to blame Bieniemy for his diminished role, though Reid did make a good point that the veteran running back was not nearly as effective at 31 years old, which is likely why he saw less playing time. So this, to me, honestly just sounds like LeSean McCoy is salty that he got old and washed, but that's kind of, that happens with running backs. I mean, there's nothing crazy about it. It's borderline normal, I would say. Transitioning to the biggest soccer match in the world. I mean, this is the Super Bowl of soccer. The biggest match on the European club football calendar is finally here. The UEFA Champions League final is set to take place tomorrow on Saturday in Paris. The combatants also happen to be among the most successful clubs in the competition's history, as 13-time winners Real Madrid will square off against 6-time champions Liverpool in a rematch of the 2018 final. Real Madrid came into the season looking like a side that was aging and in decline. However, a La Liga title, which for those that don't know is the Spanish league, and a berth into the UEFA Champions League showpiece has defied expectations. Few expected this side to get as far as it has in Europe's top club competition, myself included. But there's just something about the aura of Los Blancos that has propelled them through an astonishing campaign filled with comebacks and late goals. Led by the team's joint second all-time leading scorer, Karim Benzema, more on him later. Real have battled past PSG, Chelsea, and Manchester City. They were underdogs in all three matches, and all three of those came back. I mean, unbelievable comebacks in those matches. A journey that's seen manager Carlo Ancelotti's eyebrows put in overtime. Despite Liverpool being the slight favorite for the most part on sportsbooks, I personally am going to take Real Madrid. No one, not even the most ardent of Reds fans, would be comfortable with that tag. Liverpool are borderline limping toward the finish line after a fantastic season that has featured a remarkable 62 matches. Jurgen Klopp's side missed out on the Premier League title to Manchester City by only 1 point. That's what 28 wins, 8 draws, and 2 losses will get you in today's Premier League. That's the English League, but they've already won the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup. While those trophies are nice, it's arguable that the Premier League and Champions League titles are the biggest prizes. I would personally say the UEFA Champions League is the biggest prize in soccer, other than the World Cup, of course. The Reds have already failed to capture one of them, and they're sweating on the fitness of two key midfielders in Fabinho and Thiago Alcantara ahead of trying to grab the other. Thankfully, both players have improved dramatically as the week has progressed, so that's a good sign for Liverpool. If fit, Thiago and Fabinho will play vital roles, as will Madrid's omnipotent midfield trio of Luka Modric, Toni Kroos, and Casemiro. I mean, that is an unbelievable midfield. However, it will be the attacking talismans for both teams who will make the difference in this epic matchup. Mo Salah, the Premier League's Golden Boot co-winner, makes everything happen up front for the Reds. His movement, ball control, and vision get him in the most dangerous places, and he's just a massive headache for any defense that has to deal with him. His 23 Premier League goals this season were matched only by Tottenham Hotspur's Heung-Min Son. Salah also led the league in assists. In 50 overall appearances this season, he has provided 31 goals and 16 assists. You may remember the last time these two teams met in the Champions League final in 2018. Salah was forced off because of an injury in the 31st minute. The aggressor on that night, Sergio Ramos, plays for PSG now, but the memories do remain for Salah. He is back in the Champions League final. And then, of course, you have Karim Benzema. He is absolutely unbelievable. He's 34 years old. He's been banging with 44 goals in 45 appearances. Another rock-solid campaign that propelled Madrid to title celebrations and earned him well-deserved individual accolades. I personally think he should be the Ballon d'Or winner, the best soccer player in Europe for this season. He scored in his last five Champions League matches. He put goals past the aforementioned trio of PSG, Chelsea, and Man City. So I think he's going to score again tomorrow, and I think Real Madrid wins. It's going to be an amazing game, and I'm definitely looking forward to it. Transitioning back to the NBA, or not back to the NBA. This is the first NBA story of today's episode. Reigning two-time NBA MVP Nikola Jokic reportedly plans on signing a Supermax contract extension with the Denver Nuggets soon. According to The Athletic, the superstar center intends to sign a five-year deal worth $260 million with the Nuggets when it is offered to him in July. Quote, Jokic's brothers Stranija and Nemanja met with Nuggets GM Calvin Booth and assistant GM Tommy Belsidis in recent days to discuss the team's future. All sides, sources say, left the meeting aligned in their vision. Jokic was eligible to hit free agency in 2023, but his return to the Mile High City was widely expected. The Nuggets could offer him more money than any other team, and his agent said in March the 6'11 center was planning to sign a Supermax deal. From Denver's perspective, paying Jokic as much as was allowable under the collective bargaining agreement was a no-brainer. The 27-year-old showed promise while sharing a front court with Yusuf Nurkic in his first two seasons. Nurkic's trade to the Portland Trailblazers then allowed him to shine in a more prominent role, and boy, did he shine. Jokic made the first of four straight All-Star appearances in 2018-19 and averaged 20 points, 11 rebounds, and over 7 assists. He has continued to improve since then. The Serb finally firmly stamped his place as one of the NBA's elite talents during his first MVP season of 2020-21 by putting up 26.5 points, 11 rebounds, and 8.5 assists a game. He also shot 56.6% from the floor and 38.8% from three. And then this year, back-to-back MVP, 27 points, 14 rebounds, 8 assists, and 1.5 steals on his way to his second straight MVP. You can make an argument that he's the best NBA player in the world right now. Nikola Jokic is something special. Speaking of special, this guy is special, but it was not enough to oust the Golden State Warriors. The Mavs are the victims of a gentleman's sweep. Dallas Mavericks superstar Luka Doncic accepted responsibility for the team's Game 5 loss to the Golden State Warriors on Thursday night, which marked the end of the Mavs' very impressive playoff run. Luka tallied 28 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists, but he made only 10 of his 28 shots from the field, posted a game-high 4 turnovers and struggled defensively. Quote, I don't like losing, especially like this. The 3-time All-Star told reporters, I played terrible. And I wouldn't say he played terrible, but, you know, for Luka, he played terrible. It was not enough to beat Golden State in Game 5 with that kind of performance. It was a very successful year for the Mavs, though, who reached the Western Conference Finals for the first time since 2011. They made the postseason 6 times over the past 10 years, but were eliminated in the opening round every time. That said, there's always frustration with a team that gets close to playing for a championship only to fall short. For Doncic this offseason, his focus will be the defensive end, saying, quote, I think defense has got to be way better for me. Honestly, I think I made a huge step this year defensively, but there's so much more room for improvement. I've got to be way better there. I think that's one spot that can take us to the next level. And I 100% agree with Luka. It's fair self-criticism. He graded out positively in 538's defensive Raptor for the first time in his four-year career at plus 0.6, but that's still ranked a modest 92nd among qualified NBA players, so he can definitely improve when it comes to defense. More on the Dallas Mavericks. They are looking to run it back just like the Denver Nuggets. Coming off a breakout season, as he prepares to hit free agency, Jalen Brunson figures to attract a lot of attention if he wants to test the waters. Speaking to NBA reporter Mark Stein, Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban noted the Mavericks can pay him more than any other team, and he thinks Brunson wants to stay. The Mavs could have signed Brunson to a four-year deal worth up to $55.5 million before the start of this season, but ESPN reported in April the team never made that offer, quote, nor did they engage in negotiations with Brunson's representatives, and now he had this breakout year. According to ESPN, the Mavericks did make Brunson an offer immediately after the trade deadline for the same terms as Dorian Finney-Smith received when he signed his deal on February 12th at 4 years, $55.6 million. Rick Brunson, Jalen's father, told McMahon of ESPN that Dallas missed its window to re-sign his son, saying, quote, I told the Mavericks once the season is started, there's no contract talk, and I went back against my word. In January, I thought he did enough where he deserved the extension. Hey, take the money, man. He wants security. He wants to live here, and they declined. He didn't turn shit down. Y'all declined first. When y'all come back to him, we said, hey, we just want to finish out the season and go from there. An extension for Brunson will certainly cost the Mavs a lot more than it would have as recently in January. A poll of scouts and executives estimated the floor for Brunson's new contract will be $20 million per season, with some projecting a deal that could go even as high as $25 million a year. Dallas does have the ability to offer Brunson a five-year deal. Other teams will only be able to offer him a four-year contract. The 2022-23 season also marks the first year of Luka Doncic's Supermax extension, and his salary jumps up to $36.6 million. He's only made $10.1 million this season, the final year of his rookie contract. If I am the Dallas Mavericks, I do everything I can to bring Jalen Brunson back. And if you don't, you absolutely have to trade for Rudy Gobert. If Rudy Gobert goes to the Dallas Mavericks, they are the 2023 NBA champions. I guarantee it. Switching gears to the NFL. Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson responded Friday to criticism from NBC Sports' Chris Sims about his decision to skip the start of organized team activities, saying, quote, so the first quote was, Brady wouldn't be missing OTAs in year four of his career. Brady didn't miss an OTA until he had played in four Super Bowls. Lamar responded by saying, Lamar wants to be Lamar, Chris. This part of OTAs is voluntary, my guy. I will be there, just not on your watches. Probably other QBs not attending voluntary OTAs either, but since it's Lamar, it's a huge deal. Find something else to talk about. Spicy. Jackson is entering the final year of his rookie contract, and there's uncertainty about the future or the nature of extension talks between the Ravens and the 2019 NFL MVP. While players often skip the voluntary portion of offseason practices when they're seeking a new deal, there's been speculation Jackson has so far been unwilling to seriously engage in discussions. In April, Pro Football Talk reported Baltimore is, quote, ready, willing, and able to pay Jackson with a two-time Pro Bowl selection, won't even start the negotiation process, and there's been no indication of whether that's changed over the past month. Ravens head coach John Harbaugh provided a blunt response Wednesday when asked about Jackson's absence from the week's workout, saying, quote, we've been down this road many times through the years. I'll just let Lamar speak for himself on that. It's for him to talk about. You can ask him. Jackson posted a positive reply on Twitter to Baltimore's team account, highlighting the start of OTAs, saying, quote, can't wait to get back. That's funny. The 25-year-old Florida native is off to a terrific start in the NFL. He's recorded 105 total touchdowns, 84 passing and 21 rushing in 58 games, 49 of which have been starts since the Ravens selected him in the first round of the 2018 draft. So I have no doubt Lamar Jackson will be back, and I don't think it's a big deal that he's missing these workouts. That's just me personally. Transitioning to some more football. Franchise tag tight end David Njoku and the Cleveland Browns have agreed to a four-year extension worth $56.8 million, according to NFL Network. The deal contains $28 million guaranteed and will make him the fifth highest paid tight end in the NFL. The deal also comes as no surprise, as Njoku told reporters in January that he wanted to spend the rest of his career with the Browns. Quote, I love it here. I love it here to the core. I want to be here for the rest of my career. That's a loyal guy right there. In July 2020, Njoku requested a trade from the Browns, and his agent told ESPN that it was in his client's, quote, best interest to find a new team at this time. The request came after the team signed Austin Hooper and drafted Harrison Bryant, clogging up the tight end position. Cleveland had no interest in trading him. The Ark and Beacon Journal reported at the time. Njoku eventually rescinded his trade request after meeting with GM Andrew Berry that August. So seems like they have figured things out. He's a big piece for them, and I'm glad that everything was figured out over there. This, for the second day in a row, or second podcast episode in a row, is a fairly serious topic. Might contain some sensitive information, so if you're sensitive to that, don't fucking listen. Anyway, San Francisco Giants manager Gabe Kapler will be skipping the national anthem before his club's games until further notice. Kapler told reporters Friday that he will not participate in the national anthem, quote, until I feel better about the direction of our country following the shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas that killed 19 children and two adults. Kapler's comments came come after he published a blog post on his personal website stating that he is, quote, not okay with the state of this country, and noted that he considered taking a knee during the national anthem before the Giants' 9-3 win over the New York Mets on Wednesday, one day after the school shooting occurred. Quote, every time I place my hand over my heart and remove my hat, I'm participating in a self-congratulatory glorification of the only country where these mass shootings take place. On Wednesday, I walked out onto the field. I listened to the announcement as we honored the victims in Uvalde. I bowed my head. I stood for the national anthem. Metallica riffed on City Connect guitars. My brain said it dropped to a knee. My body didn't listen. I wanted to walk back inside. Instead, I froze. I felt like a coward. I didn't want to call attention to myself. I didn't want to take away from the victims or their families. There was a baseball game, a rock band, the lights, the pageantry. I knew that thousands of people were using this game to escape the horrors of the world for just a little bit. I knew that thousands more wouldn't understand the gesture and would take it as an offense to the military, to veterans, to themselves. Very, very powerful statement there from Gabe Kapler. The 46-year-old is one of many sports figures to speak up in the aftermath of the shooting, including Golden State Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, who gave a very passionate speech during his media availability ahead of Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. In addition, the New York Yankees and Tampa Bay Rays used their social media accounts during their matchup on Thursday to raise awareness about gun violence and its impact in the United States. The Rays also made a $50,000 donation to Every Town for Gun Safety. So, very, very powerful statement from Gabe Kapler. While I wouldn't do what he's doing, I commend him for sharing his opinion, because I'm sure many people would find it controversial. I think that's stupid. I agree with him for the most part. I agree with his sentiments, and I commend him for recognizing that he would take attention away from the victims and their families if he was to take a knee during the national anthem, because that would have caused a massive uproar. It would have been huge. It would have been as big as when Colin Kaepernick did so in 2016. Prayers for all the victims and their families. Transitioning to something that is goofy on any level that you look at it. Cincinnati Reds left fielder Tommy Pham and San Francisco Giants left fielder Jock Peterson got into an altercation before the two teams faced off at Great American Ballpark on Friday night, but it reportedly didn't have anything to do with baseball. According to The Athletic, the altercation stemmed from a fantasy football league disagreement. Pham slapped Peterson before the two were separated by teammates. That's crazy. Pham is out of Friday's lineup as the MLB investigates the incident, per Bob Nightingale. The 34-year-old agreed not to play. Peterson remained in the lineup and is batting fourth. Giants manager Gabe Kapler, who we just talked about on much different context, told reporters the team is investigating the situation and that he won't comment on it further until he has, quote, a clear understanding of what happened. Pham and Peterson spent time as division rivals when they played for the San Diego Padres and Los Angeles Dodgers, respectively, during the 2020 season. But this is just funny. It's just funny. Switching gears to arguably the biggest story of the day. The Los Angeles Lakers have hired Milwaukee Bucks assistant Darvin Ham as their new head coach on Friday to replace Frank Vogel, according to Woj of ESPN. Ham is signed to a four-year contract with the Lakers. Woj tweeted, quote, Ham made a strong impression on Lakers in several areas, including his championship pedigree, his commanding presence, history of coaching stars, and toughness. Ham will start assembling a staff expected to include head coaching experience. I love to see this as a Laker fan. Vogel was fired on April 11th on the heels of a highly disappointing season that saw the Lakers go 33-49 and miss the playoffs despite having championship aspirations. Injuries to LeBron James and Anthony Davis played a significant role in the Lakers' struggles, as did the inability to properly integrate Russell Westbrook into the lineup after the Lakers acquired him from the Washington Wizards. But it was Frank Vogel who paid the price. He was hired prior to the 2019-20 season after the Lakers missed the playoffs in six straight seasons with Mike D'Antoni, Byron Scott, and Luke Walton at the helm. The decision paid immediate dividends as Vogel guided James Davis and co. to a 52-19 record and an NBA championship, which was the franchise's first since 2010. Winning a title created even higher expectations, and since the title, Vogel and the Lakers have failed to meet those. So I'm very, very excited for this hire as a Laker fan, and I'm looking forward to seeing Darvin Ham succeed. Switching gears to hockey, the Western Conference Finals matchup is set. The Colorado Avalanche edged out the St. Louis Blues 3-2 on the road in Game 6 to take the series in six games. It was a great series. The Avalanche are just the better team. The better team won the series. They never led in this game until they took a 3-2 lead with 4 seconds left. I thought, you know, overtime was destined. JT Compher had two goals for the Avalanche. What a game for him. And the game winner was scored by, it was scored by Darren Helm. Longtime Red Wing Darren Helm was the hero for the Avalanche. Darren Helm, interestingly enough, at one point in his career, scored two shorthanded goals in one game against the Colorado Avalanche as a member of the Detroit Red Wings. For the Blues, the goals scored were scored by Justin Falk and Jordan Kyrou, who combined for 8 shots on goal, a big part of the Blues offense. They had a great year making it this far. I mean, just running into a team like the Colorado Avalanche, it makes sense. And tomorrow, we got Game 6 between the New York Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes. The home team has not lost in this series. The Hurricanes have not lost at home in the playoffs so far. I got the Rangers tomorrow. Shesterkin, Mika Zibanejad, or Tommy Panarin. I think it's going to be a great game. I think the Rangers keep the trend going with home wins, and then hopefully the Rangers can steal Game 7 on the road and book their trip to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Tampa Bay Lightning. But the Western Conference, it's borderline. You can say that Nathan MacKinnon versus Connor McDavid is a modern-day Mario Lemieux versus Wayne Gretzky. It really is that good. Those two really are that good, and I'm really looking forward to watching the rest of the NHL playoffs. Switching gears to the last story of this episode, the Boston Celtics and Miami Heat are going 7. Game 7 will be played in Miami on Sunday. The Heat edges the Celtics out in Game 6 on the road, facing an elimination, 111-103. Jimmy Butler had a gem of a game, a complete masterclass, 47 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists in 46 minutes played. PJ Tucker had a big game, 11 points, 5 boards. Bam Adebayo with 6 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. Not the best of games, but contributing. Kyle Lowry with a huge bounce back game, 18 points, 10 assists, 4 rebounds. Max Strus with 13 points. Victor Oladipo with 9 points. And that was enough for the Miami Heat to edge this one out and force a Game 7 back at home. For the Celtics, Jason Tatum had a good game, all things considered. 30 points, 4 assists, 9 rebounds in 45 minutes. Al Horford, not the best of games. 3 points, 4 assists, 9 rebounds in 33 minutes. Robert Williams with a solid 12 points. Jaylen Brown with 20 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Marcus Smart, as always, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists in 40 minutes. Derek White with 22 points. Derek White with most likely his playoff career high, 22 points. There will be a Game 7 on Sunday. Personally, I think the Miami Heat will win at home. I think Jimmy Butler has another insane game at home. And the Heat will move on to play the Golden State Warriors in the 2022 NBA Finals. In that series, I would definitely cheer for the Miami Heat. If the Boston Celtics win Game 7 and advance to the NBA Finals, I would definitely cheer for the Golden State Warriors, no matter the implications of the Curry-LeBron debate. I cannot ever cheer for the Celtics as a Laker fan. I just can't do that. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for listening. This is all we have for episode number 393 of the Sean Sports Talk podcast. Really appreciate you guys listening. And if you're still listening, follow at Lenny's Picks on Instagram for the best sports picks. If you or someone you know has a small or medium-sized company that needs managed IT services, go to crimsonit.com. Tell them that you found them from the Sean Sports Talk podcast, and they'll give you a great discount on whatever it is you're looking for. Follow me on Instagram at Sean Hard, though. That's SEANHARDTHO, Sean Hard, though. Check out the Lenny Sports Gambling Podcast. I need to keep uploading to that. And yeah, I wish you guys a great day, great night, whatever it is, great life. Thank you again for listening, and I'll see you guys on number 394. Mamba out.